Tom, you know, as we think about the healthcare aspects of this pandemic, we've focused on, you know, you think about some of the images we've seen nightly, Tom, on the news about, you know, overflowing hospitals, and you've got a firsthand view of Mount Sinai there. But a lot of folks have been thinking about, you know, what does it mean for the health insurers? What is this pandemic mean for their businesses? To get a sense there, we welcome Sarah Hansard. She's a Bloomberg Law healthcare reporter. So, Sarah, as we think about the healthcare aspects of this pandemic, actually caring for patients at the ground level, what does it mean for the health insurers themselves?
Well, so far, the health insurers have escaped losing a lot of money. Their first quarter earnings were good. It's not clear how they'll come out of it in the end, and there's disagreement among analysts who follow them. Willis Towers Watson, in March, they were predicting that employers who cover employees were going to experience 7% increase in costs due to COVID-19, but by May, they had changed that prediction to say that employers would be saving 4%, and they didn't foresee how much delayed care or deferred care insurers and employers are experiencing so far.
Yeah, but I need my teeth cleaned, Sarah. I mean, at some point, we're all going to end up going back in and get all this delayed stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have any sense in your reporting of what percentage of this is outright decline and how much of it is going to be a line out the door in July to different doctors?
Well, I mean, there some deferred care will definitely come back, but some of it won't. I mean, like if you miss a teeth cleaning, you're not going to go get two or three teeth cleanings at one time.
Oh, I've been known to do that.
Right, okay, all right. But I mean, originally AHIP, the health insurers organization, was saying that they might have to spend as much as $550 billion more on COVID treatment and testing over the next 2 years. But now Milliman, who's an actuarial firm, you know, they're saying that the deferred care could be like about $515 billion just for 2020 alone. The issue is how much of the deferred care will come back, how much will increase as people's conditions worsen, say if you have a heart condition and you're not getting treatment now, like Bruce Lee at City University of New York, you know, he thinks that most of the deferred care is going to come back, plus there'll be additional costs, you know, on top of the COVID costs.
Could I ask an unfair question? Paul, am I allowed to ask one?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Who pays for all the patients in emergency conditions in a pandemic? Who's going to write the check, Sarah, for thousands of people deathly ill who can't pay for it?
Well, that's a big question. Now, if they're covered, the employer who's covering them or the insurer who's covering them, they will have to pay those fees. What the administration is doing so far is they're covering the uninsured through funds that were set aside for the hospitals under the CARES Act. The hospitals and the insurers don't think they should do it that way. They think they should make it easier for people to continue their employer coverage by giving them subsidies or sign up for ACA plans, you know, and increase subsidies there. So there's a disagreement there over how to cover that. But that's the current plan. The administration is currently covering it through hospital fundings if you're uninsured.
Sarah, thank you so much. Too short. I monopolized the conversation there. I'm sorry, Paul. I'm going to go in the Sweeney timeout chair.
When we go to the insurance, healthcare insurance, Tom, my head just spins every single time. I just don't get it. It's and then you think about the expenses here from the pandemic. Again, somebody pays, I guess. I don't know.